82, we're talking about Krishna meeting everybody in Kurukshetra. So they painfully explained to us that it was the sequence of events is like that. Krishna goes to Balaram goes to Vrindavan. After that, there is journey to Krishna, Kurukshetra. This one takes place after Balaram's journey to Vrindavan, and then takes place Rajasuya sacrifice. And after the Rajasuya sacrifice, Duryodhana's jealousy is inflamed. He says that Yudhishthira is so powerful, he's very, very angry, and then he calls him for a game of dice. And in that game of dice, he somehow or other cheats, and then he attempts to disrobe Draupadi. You all know that story. He's attempting to disrobe Draupadi. After that, the Pandavas are exiled to the forest, and then there is the killing of Salva and Dandavakra, and Krishna's visit to Vrindavana and final pastimes, etc. So in other words, they're trying to tell us that the Rajasuya sacrifice took place after the meeting at Kurukshetra. Now, for some people, especially Western philosophers who read this, they may think that there is some confusion here. But in the Vedic context, there is no confusion. Facts are like that. For instance, we all know the Vedas have got three important topics. The Vedas have got what is known as Karmaganda, Jnanaganda and Upasanaganda. It doesn't mean that when you take Veda, say Rig Veda, it says chapter 1 to chapter 10 is on Karmaganda and chapter 11 to 12 is Jnanaganda, and then it's not like that. These things, whether it is knowledge, whether it is deity worship, or whether it is performing rituals for your material benefits, it is dispersed all over the Vedas. It is not like when we study our textbooks, there is classification and all that. The classification there, but the Vedic style is, it will be interspersed all over, and we have to take it. Now, having said that, of course, modern scholars are very happy with their history. And Prabhupada calls history chronological nonsense. So we have to understand, why does Prabhupada say that? Because history is written or rewritten, is actually rewritten again and again. All the time is rewritten according to the time, place and circumstance, whoever the rulers are. For instance, British history during British times about India is definitely what it is now. In British history, all those guys, all the Indians who fought for independence were all traitors. They were against the Majesty's service. They were against the British Empire. So they continued traitors and they were shot. But when the Hindus or the Indians got the independence, and all these people became heroes, Bhagat Singh and Subhash Chandra Bose, and all these people are all heroes. So history is depending on how you look at it. Whenever there is a history book written in China or Japan or Korea, there's always a fight among themselves. Because according to history, the Japanese had been very, very brutal towards the Chinese at a period of time. Now they're trying to remove that. And when they try to remove that, and then the Koreans and the Chinese get into the act, and they're protesting and they're burning and doing all kinds of things. So what I'm trying to say is, history is chronological nonsense. And because we follow what Prabhupada says, we also must say the same thing. We can't say something else. Already we are having a lot of problems. And then if we say, I mean, trying to follow the same things, we are having problems. And we'll have more problems if we say things differently. So we have to understand why Prabhupada said certain things, and then we have to understand also historically. So, in the Vedic scriptures, it is written in a different style. They call it ornamentation, and we have to understand that. Now, this whole episode, what's happening in this particular place here, is they all are coming to Kurukshetra, And they are coming there to meet. Of course, it's supposed to be a solar eclipse, and they're coming there. Now, why are they coming there? To come and perform certain penances, they perform certain rituals, some religious practices. So that's why they are there. But Prabhupada explains, though they all have reason to be there, the most important reason is because they want to associate with Krishna. They actually want to see Krishna. They're missing Krishna. Everybody wants to come there. There were kings. There were ordinary people. The gopis of Vrindavan. There were Nanda Maharaj, the Yashoda. And then the Yadu dynasty. The whole lot were there. But actually, deep down, the real reason they were there is to meet Krishna and to associate with Krishna and to actually glorify Him. That was the real reason. Now, this particular meeting where all of them got together, and finally Krishna actually talked to the gopis in a particular. He took them aside, and then he had a special session with the gopis, Radharani and the rest of them. And of course that particular message to them is also, everything is of course brilliant, and there also he explains why separation of Krishna is better than even in his presence. And he explains devotional service and other aspects. Now, that time, Radharani and the gopis then invite Krishna, Balaram and Bhadra. They said, you come with us. From what I've heard, or what I've read, it says that Krishna actually invites Radharani to come to Dwaraka. And then she politely refuses. And then she says, no, you come to Vrindavan. So they put them in their chariots and they drag them from Vrindavana, from Kurukshetra to Vrindavana. Now that particular episode, the pulling of the chariots from Kurukshetra to Vrindavana with Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, or rather Krishna Baladev and Subhadra on the chariot, that is what is commemorated as the Radha Yatra festival all over the world. Of course, lately, the Pandas in Puri Jagannath are very unhappy. They're thinking that that the ISKCON is hijacking their service, their temple and all that. And they, first they protested and nothing happened. Now they filed a case in the High Court or Supreme Court, whatever, saying that ISKCON cannot do this. They should stop it. That Jagannath belongs to them. Jagannath means Lord of the Universe. So Prabhupada said when the devotees tried to go to Puri in Jagannath temple, when the devotees tried to go there and they were refused entry, Prabhupada himself refused to go into the temple. If my devotees are not allowed, I'm not going there. And he said, this is not Jagannath, he said. If it is Jagannath, Lord of the Universe, then he should be Lord for everybody. This is Purinath. It's only for a few people in Puri. And then he said, we should build our own. And then in Bhuvaneshwar came the big temple. And of course now there are about 300 over Radha Yatra festivals all over the world every year. And instead of being happy, because it's all, there are reasons, they think that their livelihood may be spoiled, or they would want to make some money out of it. So that's the story. So we have to understand that this particular pastime is the one that gave us the Radha Yatra festival. Now a little bit more about Kurukshetra. So what is Kurukshetra? Kurukshetra is also known as Brahmashetra. It's also known as Bhrugushetra and Samanta Panchaka, as it is stated here in this particular verse. It says Samanta Panchaka. Now what's the meaning of Samanta Panchaka? Samanta Panchaka means, Samanta means lakes, Panchaka means five lakes. That's the meaning of Samanta Panchaka. Now, Kurukshetra has got a lot of importance for a lot of people, but most importantly for us, it's Parashurama. Parashurama as an incarnation, he came, and because of the Kshatriyas were powerful and they were so audacious and they were not doing their duties properly, and they were so puffed up, as we say, so Parashuram actually came and destroyed 21 generations of the Kshatriyas. And not only that, he dug 5 ponds in this Dharma Kshetra known as Kurukshetra. And the blood of the Kshatriyas all filled up there. These 5 ponds filled up with red blood. I remember a couple of years ago, we went to Kurukshetra. I just remembered because Mahatma Prabhu walked in, we all went together. We were in Vrindavan and he asked me, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Kurukshetra. He said, I'm also coming with you. I've always wanted to see Kurukshetra ever since I started reading the Bhagavad Gita. I want to see the place because most importantly, that's where Krishna gives the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. You actually can go and see that place, there's a tree. They say it's the same old tree, that same spot where the Bhagavad Gita was given to humanity. And as you enter Kurukshetra, you can see the soil is all red. So you'll find that it's red. Why it's red? They say it's because the whole place was, because of the war, the battle, and the whole place was blood-ridden, so the whole soil is red. It's a very, very spiritual place. I can tell you that when you go there. And then we went to the ISKCON temple there. And then the sannyasi, I can't remember his name, and he said, he wants to see Mahatma Prabhu because for some reason. So I went and called him, you know, the sannyasi, Swamiji wants to see you. And then we went there and we sat down there. And then somehow or other talk came on medical thing. And then he said he's a doctor. Then I said, I'm also a doctor, and the wife was there with me, and I said, she's also a doctor. That's not important, that's not news. Look, that's not news. The news is, the sannyasi, I can't remember his name, he said, I am a doctor too. He went to the USA, he studied medicine, he studied medicine in India, went to USA, whatever. He's a doctor who went to the USA. There he met the devotees, became a Hare Krishna devotee, gave up his medicine, and is in Kurukshetra, and he's bought a big land and big plants in Kurukshetra. Oh, that was amazing. Can't forget that. So anyway, that's Kurukshetra. In Kurukshetra, what happened was, it's a holy place. It's like if you want to compare like a mundane thing, like it's like a, what do you call this, MCG stadium? Okay, whatever is the big one. Oh, the Telstra Dome, for instance. All the major events are played here. Similarly, all the major battles, and even today, major battles were used to take part in this Kurukshetra because it is a very holy place. So even today, when families have disputes or two parties have some disputes, what they do is they go. Let's go to Kurukshetra. They go to Kurukshetra. And then they'll get hold of somebody there. And then they will say, okay, this is the problem. So whatever decision that guy gives them, they will accept and go back. This is Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. Rather than going to the court of law, they do Kurukshetra and get their jobs done. Now, what happened was, why this digging of ponds? Somebody might ask, why the digging of ponds? The digging of ponds is supposed to be a Vedic tradition. It might sound very obsolete now. People think this is so silly. In fact, a Kshatriya, he must dig ponds. Every year he is supposed to dig one pond. Just like planting trees. You have to plant trees, you have to dig ponds. This is all the Vedic tradition. Now, digging pond is not only benefiting people, but they say Mother Earth needs to breathe. Now this is something new. Mother Earth needs to breathe, and there is a breathing pores there which are blocked. And by digging this pores, what happens is you are actually helping her to breathe. Now what's happening today, all these breathing pores are all blocked. Now you have what is known as skyscrapers. They're scraping the sky. And they block the sunlight. They do actually what Mother Earth does not want, you know. Mother Earth does not want is all these things. Putting cables in the body, putting big huge structures on the body. You know, she allows you For your sustenance, you can dig the land and plant seeds and keep your cattle. She's very happy with that. She doesn't mind a little bit of discomfort as long as you are comfortable. Mother Earth is just like your mother. Your mother, she will undergo discomfort for the children's sake. The same thing. There is some discomfort she will undergo. No, I'll undergo the discomfort as long as my children are happy. Similarly, Mother Earth also does that. You can take my place and plant some seeds so that you can grow your vegetables and you can grow your wheat and have your chapati and sabji. That's all right. I'm happy. You're happy. I'm happy. I don't mind a little bit of discomfort. But when you do this fight, these skyscrapers and huge constructions covering everything, you're actually snuffing up. And then she gets in a lot of trouble. And then she shivers. And then when she shivers, there are earthquakes. And then there is a lot of difficulties. Now people don't understand that. They think that we are very sentimental. Oh, these guys, they're very sentimental, whatever thing. But we also can say you're stupid for doing this. Because all the time there's, you know, some problems. Now, most importantly, we have gone on Parashuram again, coming back to Parashuram. So he killed the 21 generations, and then he filled up these 5 lakes with blood. And then, most importantly, Parashuram actually did a lot of penances, and then he was doing also doing a lot of spiritual practices there. Now, Parashuram is an incarnation of the Lord Himself, and he's supposed to be Vishnu Tattva. Though he's Vishnu Tattva, he is not tainted. But still he was practicing penances and he was practicing austerities there. Now why? Because he wants to instruct others that this is a place where you should come and do all those things. Now though I said that Parashuram is Vishnu Tattva, some places I've read Parashuram as Sakya Vishattva. We will discuss that later. But most importantly, I don't know, Prabhupada says that he is Vishnu Tattva. So we will accept it. Now question time, don't ask me the same question. Is Parashuram Vishnu Tattva or Saktiya Vishnu Tattva? Don't ask me that because I already told you that I am not sure. Prabhupada says this and then if you have got some evidence, you come and give it to me, I'll be very happy. Because this seems to be the trend. When the speaker speaks and he says he's not sure, question time, they'll ask the same thing. I don't know why. Madhava Sambharaj was here. He wasn't sure whether Chitrangada was dead, Vichitra Virya, and then the 3 girls, Amba, Ambaliga, Amba, Ambiga, Ambaliga. And then, I'm not sure which one. He said, oh, that's a detail. And then the question time, who is the girl? I mean, go and take a Mahabharata book and read it, find out. It's a detail. You don't have to waste time. And that went on under 15-20 minutes. So, anyway, this is an observation. No offense, please. Just an observation, you know. We are wasting Maharaj's time and, you know. Now, what happens is in Kurukshetra, they're for a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse, as you know, is an inauspicious thing. Solar eclipse, like Ekadasi, is also inauspicious. Now, during inauspicious time, what do? We don't get a whole lot of, videos or whatever. And then today is, no, cannot do anything, so I'm going to watch video from morning till night. You don't do that. The Vedic tradition, inauspicious days means you have to do more penances, more chanting, more fasting, everything should be increased. No sense gratification, anything to enjoy yourself you don't do. You don't eat, you don't, you know, no mating or no meeting or, you know, no whatever. So, that is the way it is. So what happens is, they practice this. Similarly, so everybody comes on solar eclipse, okay, Kurukshetra is a very holy place, they all come there to do the penances. Like I said, but most importantly, the reason they came there was to associate with Krishna. Having said that, I also like to remind you that when Mahaprabhu was born, he was born on a lunar eclipse too. But you must understand, is Ekadasi, eclipse, Ashtami, Navami, all these are, they are bad tithis. Ashtami is a bad tithi, Navami is a bad tithi, Ekadasi is a bad tithi, they are bad days. But Krishna takes birth on Ashtami, Lord Ram comes on a Navami, and things happen on Ekadasi. Because for the Lord, these rules don't apply. Okay? That's the most important thing. On Ekadasi day, you can give grains to the Lord. You can't eat. But the Lord can eat. He's got no rule. If you got give him rule, then what's the issue? What's the use of being God when you have to follow all the rules that everybody follows? God means if you don't break the rules, that is God. But he is breaking the rules, not because breaking the rules. He is the rule giver. He understands what the... Because of this concept, that's why even the king is beyond the jurisdiction of the courts in any country. The Queen of Elizabeth, I'm sorry, the Queen of UK, England, whatever, you can't charge her in court because she is the giver of the law. So the giver of the law cannot be committing any apravam. Now we come to what a little bit about Parashrama as far as our concept is concerned, in the sense in our, you know, in Mahabharata. There are, of course, for a lot, Parashrama has got so many pastimes which you all have heard, and I'm not going to tell you that. Just briefly, that he was a great expert in Dhanurveda or Dhanurvidya, which means he was a great archer. Now, Parashu means axe. Now, that axe he got from Lord Shiva, that's another story. So the Ram with Parasu is known as Parashuram because he had this axe as his weapon. Now, he was a Brahmin by birth or by whatever, and that was his pastime to teach the Kshatriyas a lesson. Now, incidentally, in Mahabharata, Karna, he wanted to defeat the Pandavas, so he wanted to learn his archery from Parashuram. So he went there and he learned the archery from Parashuram. And Parashuram also told, but he pretended to be a Brahmin because he won't teach a Kshatriya. And so, Parashuram teaches the art, what is known as Dhanurvidya, and he is very happy with the disciple. So one day, when he is taking rest, that is Parashuram is taking rest, but he is taking rest on the lap of Karna. At that time, there was a particular beetle, that beetle boss through the thigh of Karna. And Karna tolerates the pain. It's a very, very painful thing. I mean, even a mosquito bites you, you'll be jumping all over the place. But this is boring right through the thighs. The femoral artery is gone. The femur bone is already exposed. But still, you know, it's bleeding. This guy is bleeding. But Karna could just stand it. And it says that the bleeding went on so much that, you know, Parashuram was soaked in blood. And then he saw everything was wet and he got up, what is this all wet? And then he realized that this particular beetle had, you know, had bored a hole through his thing on Karna's thigh. And then he said, wait a minute, how could you bear this pain? If you could bear this pain, you can't be a Brahmin. A Brahmin can't bear the pain. So you must be a Kshatriya. And then he says, tell me the truth. And then Karna tells him the truth. That I'm actually from the, you know, I'm a Kshatriya from whatever province. And then Parashuram curses him. That, you know, this when all this thing I've learned. Because he even teaches him Brahmastra, which is the greatest weapon. His main purpose of going and seeing Parashuram was to get Brahmastra to defeat Arjuna. That was the main purpose. So he taught him the Brahmastra also. And then he cursed him, and the time and the opportune time comes for you to use the Brahmastra, you'll forget it. You'll not use it. You cannot use it. So that's one thing. And then the same, remember I was telling you about Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. Now when she was the three of them, Bhishma goes and captures them. Not really, it's a Swayamvara. He goes and takes his three girls for Vichitravirya. And when he brings them to Vichitravirya, then what happens is the first one, Amba, says that I'm already in love with King Salva, so I can't marry Vichitravirya. So Bhishma, being a gentleman, says, alright, that's alright, you also can go back to him. So sends her back to Salva. But Salva was defeated, because when he's taking the three girls and coming back, Salva battles Bhishma and is defeated very badly. So when Amba goes back to Salva, Salva says, no, I have already been lost in battle. I can't accept you. You're already gone. This is a Vedic system. I can't accept you anymore. So Amba now is shuttling up and down. She comes back to Bhishma and says, now what do I do? So what can I do? He said, you marry me. So Amba says, ask Bhishma to marry her. Bhishma, of course, is a Naistika Brahmachari, he has already made a big vow, and he, of course he refused. He said, no, I can't marry you. And Amba is so angry, and it goes on for some time, and she complains to Parashuram. And there is a battle between Parashuram and Bhishma. And in this battle, of course, because of the prowess or the special vows that is given by the father to Santanu, to Bhishma, he is not defeated. And then at the end of the battle, then Bhishma explains his position to Parashuram, and Parashuram blesses him. Now that's another incident that is very important. Then one more time is when Krishna, before the battle between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, he says, he will try one more attempt. He wants to stop the battle. Many times people will say, your God is a warmonger. When they show the Bhagavad Gita, the first page, this is a battle scene. So what is this? The battle scene, oh, your God is a warmonger, they will tell you. He wants. They don't understand that actually Lord Krishna tried so many times, because we don't understand the whole thing, you'll think it is like that. So he actually goes as a messenger to stop the war. While going as a messenger to broker peace, what happens is that just as about his leaving, a group of sages come to, he meets a group of sages, and one of them is Parashuram there. And then of course they exchange niceties, and then Krishna tells him that I am going to Hastinapur to stop the war. And Lord Parashuram actually blesses him. Now, so we understand that this is what happened in Kurukshetra. So Parashuram is an expansion of the Lord. There are many different kinds of expansions. So these various expansions are there. So we need to know a little bit philosophy, how the Lord expands and why he expands. So of course, ordinary people also sometimes expand. Not ordinary people, extraordinary people. I mean, ordinary people expanding is, and I don't want to sell that joke now. So the extraordinary people, because they expand too. Even in the Chaitanya line, lately, there is a story I heard from a senior devotee. And this happened in Puri. This particular person is a great saint. And then he said, okay, my time has come. I'm going into Samadhi and do the necessary things, festival. After I'm finished, you do the festival, and then every year you do something here for me. So the devotee said, all right, everybody, disciples all agreed. And then he left his body. What happened was, when 1 year later, they had some doubts how to do the festival properly. So they went around asking Puri how to do it, and then Puri people said, look, your line, nobody is here. Your line only in Vrindavan. You go there, and then they will tell you that how to do this particular festival properly. So they go to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan while inquiring, they said, there is one person in your line who gives classes under the tree every evening. So you go and meet him, and then he will explain to you. So similarly, they went there. And when they went there, and whom did they see? Their guru was sitting under the tree and giving a discourse. And they were shocked. So waited for the discourse to be over, and then so first thing, of course, the guru chastised, what are you doing here? No, we are here because we didn't know how to do the festival. That's why we came. But what are you doing here? You see? They were shocked. Never mind about me, he said. That's another story. You go back and you know. So what to do? He said, just every year, just have a usual festival called, invite a lot of people, do a lot of chanting, and distribute prasadam. So he gave instruction like that. So this is something that happened. I am told these things happen even today in Harikesh and in Rishikesh and Haridwar and all these places. And the unmanifested pastimes, they say, that Vyasa and all these people are still living there. Now, coming to in Vedic or in the Bhagavatam itself, we have sometimes hear about expansion. For instance, Saubari Rishi, he expanded 8 times. And then we have Kardama Muni, who expanded 9 times. And in the Prabhupada explains, Kardama Muni expanded 9 times to sexually satisfy Devahuti. That's what it says. So sometimes these things may be very difficult for us to understand. And Prabhupada in fact says that the sexual inclination of a woman is 9 times greater. That Prabhupada writes like that. So we have to understand, sometimes we have people saying that men and women are all equal. That is not Vaishnava philosophy. We are all not equal. Equal in the sense we are samadarshanaha, which means we all have got spiritual souls. That's there. That's why the equality is. Now, Radha cannot become Lalita, Lalita cannot become Vaishaki. We can't do all that. That is impersonalist philosophy. That's not Vaishnava philosophy. You cannot become Radha's wife, you cannot become. At best you can become Radha, Krishna's girlfriend, sorry. So you can't do all that. So we shouldn't be confused. The material concept of equal rights, men and women, is a very, very materialist concept. In our concept, we are all spirit souls, we should not identify with the body. If you say, I am a woman, I am an equal, no, don't say that. You must say, I am soul, I am part and parcel of Krishna, I am a serve Krishna. Whether you are a man, whether you are a woman, that is the concept. You are part and parcel. If a man is attached to the male body or the woman is attached to the female body, it's all attachment. Then the path of perfection or the path of realization or the path of spiritual destination, everything will be disturbed. So we must be very careful. That is exploitation. The material concept of men and women are equal is to give you a very nice, noble thought and then exploit the woman. So we shouldn't fall trap into it. We should be very careful here. Anyway, so we see some histories like that. But then again, these expansions are not the same when Krishna expands. Now we'll come to the philosophy about Krishna's expansions. Krishna, in his original form, is known as Swayam Rupa. And then his next expansion is known as Tadekatma Rupa. Swayam Rupa is original form. Tadekatma Rupa means, that means that, Eka means one form, Atma means body or self. That one same, you can say that one self same form or something like that. That means, as Krishna is Swayam Rupa, as Tadekatma Rupa, he is Balaram. He is Balaram. So what's the difference between Krishna and Balaram? There is no difference. But Prabhupada says the only difference is the color. And Krishna is black and Balaram is white. Otherwise, in every aspect, they are both black. And then apart from the third expansion, there are many, many different classifications. I'm giving a simple one. The third one is Aveshrupa. So Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma Rupa, Aveshrupa, where the Lord, one particular potency, one particular energy of the Lord, the one particular energy of the Lord is transferred onto a human being or an ordinary person. So like for instance, Vyasa is a literary incarnation. The literary knowledge, that knowledge is that particular strength or energy of knowledge is transferred onto him so that he can perform his duty well. Now, apart from that, this Swayam Rupa is also divided into Prabhava and Vaibhava. Vaibhava Prakash and Prabhava Vilas. That's how it is. Vaibhava Prakash means, Vaibhava means opulence. He expands to show his opulence. Now, classical example will be, when Krishna is in Dwaraka, he has got 16,108 wives. So what does he do? He expands himself into 16,108, and then later, question time is later, he explains into 16,108, and then to keep everybody happy. That means he keeps, with one queen is reading, another queen is combing his hair, another queen is doing this, another house is playing with the children, he does all that. And he does all that, is to show his loving exchanges. For instance, in Rasa Leela 2, he was dancing and then he expanded into so many times to make the gopis very happy. Now that is known as Vaibhava Prakasha. Now even in Dwaraka, we have a problem now. There are 16,108 Krishnas. Now imagine he's going to the court. Are there 16,108 courts? And he's presiding in each court? Are there 16,000, you know what I'm trying to say? Is that everything? No. As he's coming out of the palaces, the 16,108 Krishnas, as they're coming out of the palaces, and then they're coming up to go into the chariot, they become one. And then as one, he goes through the palace, he goes through the royal court, and then when he meets people, citizens and all that. And when he comes back from the royal house court, and he comes to the palaces, as soon as he gets down of the palace, gets down from the chariot, then again the expansions take place, and then he's satisfying everybody. Now the other one is known as Prabhava Vilas. The Prabhava Vilas is glorious expansion. Now he's expanding for a purpose. And here he's showing his might. Don't play the full might. That's what he's doing here. In the glorious expansion is, you don't play the full anymore. Because when he thinks, it happens. So when he thinks he's king of Dwarka, when he's thinking I'm the protector of the citizens, and when that mood comes in, and then that is known as the Prabhava Vilasa. So, in the Swayam Rupa form, in his original form, what does he think is? He thinks he's a cowherd boy. That's what he thinks. I am a cowherd boy. I want to cheat. I want to steal butter. I want to play with the gopis. And I want to tease my mother. And I want to instruct my father. I want to herd cows. And these kind of things. All these things that Krishna does. That is in his Swayam Rupa form. That's what he thinks and that's what he does. So, but when he thinks, everything happens. Now when we think, nothing happens. When I think, at home, nothing happens. But somebody else thinks, it happens. Now the point is, what I'm saying is, we think, when we think, supposing you're thirsty, you think water, but somebody, either you have to go and fetch the water, you do something, and then only somebody must give you the water, and then it's also difficult, maybe this water might not even reach you. There's so many things. But when Krishna thinks, it happens. If it is thirsty, he's quenched. The thing happens immediately. Sometimes we even have people, when they say think, let me think. And people go, let me think. They're thinking. People thinking. Some people, they even hit the head. And for 5 minutes they're hitting and they can't think still. But Krishna's thinking is different. Sankalpa matrena. The minute he thinks, it happens. All he has to do is just think and it happens. So in this prabhava, what happens is, he is first expanding into the first Adi Chaturvyuhas, which is known as Vasudeva, there is Pradyumna, there is Aniruddha, and there is Shankarshna. The first four forms, the four-handed Vishnus. That is the first expansion, and then you got a secondary expansion of four, and then you also have these four expand into 24. It is said that they expand into 24. Each one of them reside in Narayana Loka, Vaikuntha Loka. And each one of them, one loka, they expand into four, and then they expand into three, and then they expand into eight, and then they goes on and on and on. That's why we call expansions and expansions of expansions. So that is the inconceivable potency of the Lord, and we can see these things happening here. Now, when he is in the prabhava forms, this is the first thing I said was in the prabhava forms, that's where he incarnates. In that form, he wants to become a dwarf, then he becomes his vamana. Then he's asking for three steps. As a small boy, now suddenly he's asking for three steps. What happens? He becomes a gigantic, he becomes Trivikrama. So when he becomes Trivikrama, because he thinks he wants to. So these are the prabhava forms, or Narasimha, or Kurma. All the incarnations are the prabhava forms. He is just showing his might. Now, in the vaibhava forms, also the archas, like the deities and we are called archas. So the vaibhava forms are expansion of the idea. Now, when he comes as an avatar, also you'll find that when two of them, there are certain rules and certain ways they interact. For instance, Krishna and Balaram, they have got certain ways of interacting with each other. In fact, it is said that Balarama associates with Krishna in three different kinds of moods. The first one is Vatsalya. That means he takes service as an elder brother from his younger brother. The parental mood, Vatsalya. Now, what happens is, like for instance, they're both playing in Vrindavan. Krishna is playing and Balaram playing. They're playing and playing and then they're tired. And then Krishna, I am tired. And Balaram, I am tired too. So what do? We take rest. They go under a kadamba tree. And then Krishna just lies there, sits there. And then, I don't know if there's a picture here. And then what happens is Balaram comes and puts his head on Krishna's lap. And then he's resting. And Krishna gently Balaram's head. At that time, who comes in safe? Narada comes there. And they're, oh, this is wonderful. So Krishna says, what is so wonderful about this? So Narada says, you are being served by Lakshmi. You are being served by the whole world. And now I see you are serving somebody else. So Krishna says, so what is so wonderful about that? He is my elder brother. So I am serving him. So Narada says, elder brother, you are the original personality of Godhead. If you are the original personality of Godhead, where is this question of something elder to you? So Krishna says, you told that I am the original personality of Godhead, isn't it? He said, yes. If I am the original personality of Godhead, if I am God, then I can have everything that I want. He said, yes. Then if I can have everything that I want, I can have an elder brother too. If I can't have an elder brother, I mean, what's the fun of being God, you know? You, God means, like I said earlier, you should be able to do a lot of things that we can't do. We can't just say, you know, just because we can't control even our children or our wife, we can't say God also is suffering because he's got wife and children. That is not true. So the point is, again, so he says this, that since I can have elder brother. And so, in fact, Prabhupada explains in this particular instance that, you know, that in like how people often ask the question, is God so big that he can create a big stone so heavy that he can't carry? The question was asked Prabhupada many times. This is a very standard question, you know. So when you say, can you carry a, so if you can, if you are God, you are all-powerful, then you should make a stone that is so heavy that he himself can't carry. But then if you can't carry, then you are not all-powerful. So Prabhupada answered this way. Prabhupada has answered this in different places in different ways. Once he said, yes, Krishna will create it and then Balaram will lift it, he said. That's one thing he said. And then he said, Krishna will create it, then what he will do, now he'll increase his strength. And then he'll increase his strength and then now he'll lift it. And then he'll create another stone which is even heavier than the one. And then he becomes bigger, heavier, bigger. He can go on and on indefinitely. So that was one answer that he gave. Now the second kind of mood is sakya, which is friendship. Now you see both of them are running around playing. And then they want now, there's a friend, they're fighting. This fight is going on between Krishna and Balaram. They are at a distance, they're coming closer. This guy is looking at him. This guy, very bold. This personality, Krishna is looking at Balaram and Balaram is looking at Krishna. They're coming closer and closer. They're staring into each other's eyes. And they're coming closer and closer. And when they are as close as possible, both their foreheads are almost touching. And then they both hit each other so hard. And then they bang in. While this is going on, somebody is screaming in pain. Not Krishna, not Balaram, but Madhu Mangala is crying in pain. So both of them look at him. What is wrong with you? You are not involved here. Why are you crying? But Madhu Mangala was crying because he was so absorbed, both sides. He was absorbed in Krishna. He could feel the pain for Krishna and he could feel the pain for Balaram too. And so that is the one of the pastimes that, you know, as in the friendly mood. Then we also have the Dasya mood. Dasya mood where Balaram is the former servant. So in this, in even the entire universe is the former servant. He is Krishna's his bed, his slippers, his what he called his sacred thread, his umbrella, name it, everything is servant of. That's what everything is considered. Even this is considered Balaram, and that is the wall. That's what even the Pancharatra rule, people will say when children put their feet on the wall, they say, don't put. That's Balaram. They will say, but you are allowed to walk because you're serving the deity, or because you're doing some service to glorifying the Lord. Otherwise, strictly speaking, you're not even supposed to stand on the floor. Strictly speaking, because it's all grounds of Balaram. Anyway, being the former servant, now what happens is once Duryodhana invites, before the war, Duryodhana invites Balaram to come home because he wants to give him a big feast. The whole idea was he wants, because he was his ex-teacher, he thought both Balaram was the martial arts teacher, taught them how to fight the mace for Duryodhana as well as Bhima. So Duryodhana invites him to come home. The main reason was to give him a big face and glorify him so that Balaram will become an ally of Duryodhana. That was the whole thing. So he invited him, and then he made a big, nice Vyasasan, an asana for him, and made him sit there, and then they did this Agra Puja. 108 things were offered, and Balaram was so pleased, he was so happy, and then there was a big feast. And he was so happy with, and you know, he was very happy with Duryodhana, very pleased with him. And then Duryodhana said, you know, okay, now that the battle is coming, I want you on my side. And then Balaram said was, look, it's possible, but you know, we are the elders, but we don't make the decision. Vasudev, Krishna makes the decision. So whatever he says, so if you can convince him, whatever he says, this side, that side, doesn't matter. What he says, be on that side. So he says like that. At that time somebody, I can't remember who said the person, that somebody from the back was saying, Krishna? Who is Krishna? He's not even a king. He's using our insignia. And how can, you know, like that, he was insulting Krishna. And then Balaram's fury, this is where the Dasya mood. My master, you're scolding my master. And then the fury came into his eyes. Eyes became red shot. And then he took down his plow. And he said, how dare you insult? Krishna is the king of kings, the lord of lords. Even Mahavishnu is a servant of Krishna. And how dare you talk like that? You're not even a mosquito in this material universe. And he took his plow. And he said, I'll teach you a lesson. I am dragging Hastinapur to Yamuna. And he puts his plow in. They say, or the scriptures say, the plow not only went through earth, it went through earth into Mount Meru. If you know how the 14 planetary systems are, it's like, you know, if you have seen like a cone of, you know, the ice cream cone. Supposing you just throw that cone, it lands on the ice cream and then the cone goes this way. That's how Mount Meru is. And if you got bangles, if you put bangles, 14 bangles, that's how the 14 planetary systems are. So he went through the earth's earthly dimension into Mount Meru. And when that happened, and then Dronacharya was screaming, he told Duryodhana, go and do something. He is very angry, don't know what's going to happen. The whole world will be destroyed. You better be careful. And then Duryodhana pleads with him and says, I'm very sorry, we are fools, we are idiots. Don't listen to us, we make, you know, don't take us seriously. And forgive us and all that. And then Balaram said, you know, he calmed down. He said, okay, let it go. And when he pulled out the plow, Hastinapur shook, and according to scriptures, 10-story buildings just crumbled and fell to the floor. So even those days, they mentioned that there were 10-story floors in Hastinapur. So that was the Dasya mood of Balaram. So all this is there. So we have to be very careful in devotional service and by understanding all these different stories. The whole idea is to enthuse ourselves and even become more serious in our spiritual practice. But there is one word of caution though. Though we are all trying to practice spiritual service in whatever way we can, You probably would have heard of Upa Sampradaya. Just a few lines on Upa Sampradaya. This Upa Sampradaya means, this is the Sampradaya where the four major Sampradayas are there. Even in our Chaitanya line, there are 13 Upa Sampradayas. Upa Sampradayas like Aulas, Baulas and Gauranga Nagari. I just want to mention about this because these things are permeating even in the movement, that these things are all in a very, very subtle form, this Upa Sampradaya is happening. Especially, I like to mention about this Gauranga Nagaris. There are people who think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a male and that we all are female. So, you know, and they participate in all kinds of activities. They call themselves, they call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nagara and they call themselves Nagaris and all of it. And they sometimes, you know, even Prabhupada explains, they sometimes engage themselves in sexual eroticism and stuff. And they consider so many things. I don't want to say most of these things because they are not fit to be even mentioned here. But the point is, we have to understand. And they have got certain very nice concepts in the sense that you can see. They decorate themselves very nicely. You know, the way they and they put their phylax on the body is not like us. And I don't even take 2 minutes, you know. And they decorate so beautifully, you know. In fact, even one tilak, putting on the tilak, they take 2 hours. You know, they will start to puri kusuno, go on, they'll be chanting and all that. And finally, all at 2 hours to put the tilak mantras. And then they'll take on biri then. And then they'll put back the body. And then they will have all kinds of funny things. But, you know, you'll see some of them when you go to Navadip and some places. So we have to be very careful. Sometimes you can even see in ashram some people are putting their tilak for a long, long time. Because it's safe, it is said in the Patra Purana, I believe, that you know, if you put your tilaks well, if you do your tilaks on your body well, you can go back home. So maybe that's the reason. But we have to be careful that there's something called Upa Sampradaya. Maybe sometimes in the future I can tell you more details of all the 13 Upa Sampradayas and what they're capable of. I guess this is all for today. Anybody has any questions and comments? Please don't ask the question that I said you shouldn't ask.
You were saying that when we dig deep into the earth shivers. So what happens in the tsunami?
That's all part of the... They say tectonic, the science says it's tectonic plates moving. So, but we are saying it's Mother Nature, which is, she's doing it. They say everything is happening by itself. But we say nothing is happening by chance, everything has a reason. Nothing is happening by chance, everything is happening by design. So when we do certain things, then certain things happen. In fact, even, you know, if the demigods themselves will, the devas themselves, the yakshas and all these people will themselves will be creating some problems. Just like 2 months ago, there was a big uproar in the USA because there is a big group now believing in aliens. Hello? They believe in aliens and UFOs and all that. And they want a government to come with a stand. 40 people have seen something in, you know, this Texas somewhere. So what is this? What is happening? You know? So they can't explain. You know, if you explain, see, according to Islam, Christianity and Judaism, there is no living entity other than earth. This is the only place. Okay? So they can't accept it because it's against the religion. Now, according to science, if they accept it, then, you know, it's like they're accepting, so far they have never discovered, for them, in their system, they've sent satellites, they're studying Mars and Jupiter and Pluto, whatever, and then they have not discovered life. So they have not discovered life. Science has not discovered life other than the earth. And religion is say there is no life other than earth. Only we are talking about yakshas, rakshas, kimpurushas, kinnaras and all that. And then, so but then all the time there is, these things are happening. UFOs and, I mean, I've given so much of detail in the past about this. So of course for us, we believe that it's all part of the thing. And they will control. They will not allow suddenly. It's not like, you know, suddenly Saddam Hussein gets, or like Iran gets an atom bomb, and he can just put it onto the whole earth. The demigods will not allow that to happen. Even if it wants to do it, it will be a limitation, but the limitation, they'll make sure that they have learned the lesson. Like what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they learned the lesson, now they don't want to use it anymore. They're so scared. They're so scared about using it. Anything else?
When Gandhari she curses Krishna, why did Krishna accept the curse graciously? Because he is the supreme god, he could have overruled the curse. It doesn't affect him in any way, is it?
What? No, I don't understand.
If Gandhari cursed Krishna, that like his entire Yadava dynasty will get destroyed, so why did Krishna accept the curse?
Why did Krishna accept the curse?
Yeah.
For so many reasons. Gandhari is no ordinary woman. Who cursed? Gandhari cursed, right? So that is nothing, you know. Gandhari is a very, very powerful lady, you know. So you must understand, you know, the husband can't see, she closed her eyes. Firstly, I mean, these days there are many wives who hope that the husbands can't see, so they can do whatever they want. Nobody is laughing. Anyway, the point is, Gandhari is no ordinary woman. And Krishna is, this is, see, there is no one reason for all that. It's not only Gandhari. There are many reasons. And the Vishnu race has to be destroyed. Dwaraka has to be destroyed. There are a lot of stories about Dwaraka. It was created celestially and has to be destroyed. The whole past tense has to wind up and all that. So when you look at the whole thing, it is not that, but he also accepted the curse. Because then again, this is culture again, you know, that she is the, you know, like a grandmother for him. So he will accept that. He will not like the Brahmins also. You know, he will protect the Brahmins, but also for certain reasons. So all these things are there, but at the same time we finished them all. At the same time. But he also, when in Mahabharata, I can't remember now, that particular part where he's cursed, he comes out very, very strongly, you know, in philosophy. He explains to all of them why he had to do it. In fact, if I remember correctly, I think Dhritarashtra was so angry because he feels this whole culprit, the whole crook, the fellow who did everything was Krishna. So when he comes and hugs Krishna, he wants to kill Krishna. He's a Kshatriya, you know, though he's blind, he's a very powerful fellow. So he wants to kill him. And of course, you know, Krishna is Krishna. So those are details. But you know, but is there's very nice, interesting things about this. You know, like many times he is blamed, and they'll say, "Did I gamble? Did he gamble? He didn't gamble. Why did you gamble? You were supposed to be dharma. You know, why did you gamble? You gambled already. You gambled your wealth. Why you gamble your wife? You see, and who made the promise?" This fellow named Campbell, and then they tried to disrobe Draupadi. Draupadi said, "I will not tie my thing anymore till I get the blood of Duryodhana on my hair." Who made the vow? And Bhima said, "I'll break your thigh in the battlefield, you know, so that she can have the blood." So who's making all these vows? Everybody is doing the whole thing, and Krishna is blamed. So we also same thing. We'll have all our plans, and then we'll say, "Why are you doing this to us?" We have to understand. We have to surrender. Holy name and surrender, that's all. It's not simply that, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is lifting the hands? You know, for us, the holy name is everything. Chanting is everything. You're going to get married, you chant. You're going to get a baby, you chant. If there is a death in the house, you chant. If your wife leaves you also, you have to chant. Now you can't say, "Oh no, I won't touch this anymore. Because I am enjoying now, you know, I am suffering because of you." And no. For other, many times devotees will say, "This is happening, that is, that's nothing. That's the only way. That's the medicine. For everything, there is only one medicine, chanting. That's all." And it is not stupid. You have to understand it. It's not stupid. We are helpless. Anyway, you look at our position. What can we do? We are helpless. I mean, we are not even sure. We are lucky at least our two hands and two legs. Of course, we are wearing glasses. But better without glasses, but wearing glasses, but you know, better eyesight with glasses than blind. So we are already fortunate in so many ways. We have to understand we are fortunate in so many ways instead of complaining. And our material position is, you know, you just open the pages and people see every day so many things happening to so many people. It hasn't happened to me, you must think, it hasn't happened to me. You know, wife is killing the husband. Oh, today hasn't happened to me, my wife hasn't killed me yet. So you have to be happy like that. You have to be happy that things are not happening. And otherwise, you know, this is... Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Just a point I would like to add.
Yes, of course.
In fact, when Lord Krishna goes to Gandhari, Gandhari to take her blessings, but other times she curses him. And then after curses being given to him, he says, why did you come, Vasudev? He says, so I want to come and take your blessings, but now if I take your blessings, your curse will be negated. Because now the quality of feet will bless me and all the curse will go away. So I'll better not quality of feet, because I'll put you in a very difficult situation. So I'll take the curse and go happily from here.
Yes, it's a beautiful action. The whole thing is very beautiful. Yes, true. Again and again and again, all this is because he was a Brahmin. You'll find that even in Lord Rama, before he killed Ravana, he prayed to Lord Shiva. Now Lord Shiva is a very, very person. There are three tattvas, we know as, there is Vishnu tattva, there is Jiva tattva. Okay? Now apart from this, Vishnu tattva and Jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva means all these people like, you know, Parashuram and Lord Ram and Krishna, all they are Vishnu tattva, expansions of Vishnu. And we are the Jiva Tattva, that means we are struggling hard in this material world. Apart from this, there is what is known as the Shiva Tattva. Now the Shiva Tattva is almost like the Vishnu Tattva, it's almost made it like. You must understand. It's a very, very powerful position, Lord Shiva's position. So when they come here in the role of, when they come here through pastime, they are also telling people, you know, the position of these people and praying to some of them may be, most of them will be Lord Shiva's devotees. They then, like all the asuras are Shiva's devotees. Like Ravana was a great Shiva devotee. He's already praying to him, can you give me permission to, your devotee now, what to do? Yeah, back him, you know, he deserves to be back. So, okay, now that he gave me permission, so I'll finish him off. So it is not that in any way, what do you call it? If you look at the whole thing here. So there is a reason also to tell us what to do when we have difficulties, what we are supposed to do. See, in the Karmakanda worship, you want good progeny, you want good health, you want make money, you want all these things. That is, most of the Vedas is Karmakanda only. Traigunya Vidya, Krishna says, you know, the three things. So what I'm saying is, and a little bit of Jnanakanda. Jnanakanda is all about the impersonal Brahman, knowledge about the impersonal Brahman, how to become one with that. Upasana Kanda, that is worship of the Lord, that's only very little. You can say about 75% is Karma Kanda and 24% is about Jnana Kanda, and maybe 1% or less than 1% is the what we are practicing. So you have to understand that, you know, people are into it, but you have to do it properly. So the proper ways of doing things. And that's but material benefits, and material benefit of course is temporary because the body itself is temporary. What is the use of, you know, okay, you get 100 wives and then you die. So what happens? So everything is lost. Or you get whatever possession and then you are finished, one day you are finished. But spiritual comes with you, material doesn't come with you. But of course people will still be enamored by the material. Yeah, that's fine, it's all there, explained, yeah. Otherwise the whole of Melbourne will be here today. So that won't be, that'll never happen. The modes of material nature. That also confirms that because the three modes of nature are there, so that also confirms these things must be there. Otherwise we can't understand. We can't understand Bhagavad Gita.
Shiva's Lord's eternal associates mm-hmm. appear from his internal energy and Jiva's, you know, marginal energy. Can Jiva's ever become Nityasiddhas?
Jivas can become Nityasiddhas. They can. But my understanding is you can. Because by Salana Bhakti, if you keep on doing it, and then you, what happens is you, like if you have perfected your, like if you have perfected your Salana this time, it is said that your next birth will be in association with Krishna. You don't go back to the spiritual world. I mean, different people, scholars have said different things, but you take birth. You know, Krishna is doing the pastime in, you know, the innumerable universes. Science agrees with all this. There are innumerable millions and billions of universes. So in one particular universe, Krishna is doing some, not one, there are so many universes is doing a pastime. So you will become one of the gopis there and doing whatever, helping him to steal the butter, whatever. And then you go back to him. That's what it says. This. Because both are being mentioned. I've read both. Both being said that he's Satyavish and he's Vishnutattva. Both being said. So it's possible. Because he does. But you see, he meets Lord Ram too. And you know, he had the Vishnu. The bow, Vishnu bow. The Shiva bow is the one that he met, married Janaki by stringing it. And then Parshuram gives this one. He said, you are so powerful, do this. Before you could even hand over the bow, the thing was strong. And then Parashuram realized that this is all in the first and gave it to him. Anyway, they are all like, very, very high level. But Shakti always is also, Shakti Tattva, that is the internal potency. That is all the concepts all come as Shakti Tattva. They are also as much as the Vishnu Tattva. That means they don't have material bodies, which means all of them like Radharani or like Rukmini and Bama and all these people, they don't, they are different categories. They are Shakti Tattva. Hare Krishna.